This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, Mississippi becomes the latest state to uphold the fundamental right of religious freedom with the passage of the Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Government Discrimination Act. The action comes despite threats from big business that has become increasingly hostile to religious freedom. The bill's sponsor and the Speaker of the House of Representatives, there in Mississippi, Philip Gunn, joins us with the details in just a moment. And you may have missed it over the weekend, but an exchange between Meet the Press's Chuck Todd and Hillary Clinton shows just how effective the pro-life community has been. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, this week in Greensboro, North Carolina, a summit of pastors and youth leaders is taking place, and it's being hosted by Josh McDowell. It's not a summit on Christian apologetics, but the crisis of pornography. Josh McDowell joins us a little bit later with the details. Let me remind you, coming up on Sunday, April the 17th, Stand With the Persecuted. To find out more how your church can be involved in standing with Christians who are being persecuted around the world, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And if you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me at T Perkins. Again, that's on Twitter at T Perkins. Big news out of Mississippi today, thanks to Governor Phil Bryant and the legislature. Freedom, not fear, won out. Citizens in the Magnolia State will enjoy the benefit of one of the nation's strongest religious liberty protections in the country. Now, this comes despite big business bullies, a media misinformation campaign, and liberal scaremongers who have been throwing a collective tantrum after North Carolina made the audacious decision to deny men the right to enter bathrooms and locker rooms of women and little girls. It's unbelievable what's been going on. Well, Mississippi went forward anyway. And under this law, the state of Mississippi and its political subdivisions cannot punish the citizens of the state for their view of marriage. That's it. Governor Bryant and the legislature is to be commended for protecting this first freedom, our fundamental freedom of religion. And it simply says, this is all it says, folks. Now, I know the talking heads on TV are going to make this into, the apocalypse. But all it does is says the state cannot be used as a weapon to bludgeon those who have the same view of marriage that the president had up until 3 years ago. That's it. And I'm telling you what, the governor, the House Speaker, and the legislature are to be commended for not giving in to the threats from big business who have become they're joined at the hip with the left. It's unbelievable. And I think there's going to be repercussions from this. It's going to come back to haunt them in days to come. Because it is the conservatives who have stood with them when they wanted a fair playing field in order to do business, which I'm fine with. We should do business. We should allow them. We want them to do business, but we don't want them to weigh into these social issues. Let them do business. Anyway, I want to commend the governor and the House Speaker, who joins us now, the Speaker of the Mississippi House of Representatives, Philip Gunn. Philip, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on for just a few minutes. I was able to take a break from a couple of meetings and just pull away for a couple of minutes to be with you.
Well, I appreciate that, Philip. Give our listeners the genesis behind this bill and why you authored it and supported it.
Well, I think all of this started last summer with the Supreme Court decision, the Obergefell decision, and I think most people who followed that could see and could foresee, I should say, a collision between religious liberties and the decision of the Supreme Court. I think, in fact, that was one of the first thoughts I had when the decision came down was, how is this going to fit within the religious liberties context? Because as believers, we all understand that that decision was not consistent with what we understand Scripture to say. So I could see even then that there was going to be a collision course between this, and that was kind of the start of the thought process behind it. Again, there's going to be a lot to come in the future on this, trying to navigate through these legal waters. But this was an effort to preserve religious liberties here in Mississippi. We've seen around the country where the effort has been to suppress religious liberties, to cause people not to be able to operate within their own convictions. And this was an effort to try to preserve those freedoms while at the same time not working to discriminate against anyone. And I think those who will look at this bill and take time to read it, mm-hmm, will recognize that there is no discriminatory language in here at all. This does not operate to work against any particular person, and I don't want it to be perceived in that light. This is not a hate bill. It is not designed to be that way. I think we as Christians certainly want to preach love and forgiveness. We all know that each of us are sinners, that we each are separated from Christ because of that, and that we all need a Savior. And that's something that I think sometimes gets lost in this debate, is that all of us are sinners. But there are people who operate in government and in business who have convictions, and they want to operate based upon those convictions. And this is just simply an attempt to help preserve that without running afoul of the decision of the Supreme Court.
And to be very clear on this, Mr. Speaker, this only deals with the state and the political subdivisions of the state being used as a weapon, if you will, to force people into compliance with a redefinition of marriage. That's it.
Yes, sir. And I think if people will read the bill, they would see that. I would point out, if they read the bill, you will see the words state government throughout the bill. It is very narrowly targeted to state action, government action.
Right. So this has nothing to do with the individual parties. This has been distorted to say that this would allow a restaurant to deny service to someone. That is absolutely not covered by this bill. This only says that a religious organization, a business, an individual cannot have their tax status changed because they believe marriage is the union of a man and woman, or a ministry that's involved in, say, drug addiction, helping teens addicted to drugs. They can't be denied a state contract simply because they believe that marriage is the union of a man or woman, or that sexual relations are properly reserved in marriage.
And the bill addresses that in the very first section, and maybe the second paragraph, but it is very narrowly tailored to a definition of marriage being one man and one woman, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's the only protected action right there, and so it's a very narrow application.
Right. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, the House Speaker of Mississippi. Philip Gunn is with us. I know your time is short, Mr. Speaker. I want to ask you one final question. This is a pretty significant piece of legislation. You've had a lot of opposition from the business community, which, quite frankly, I'm holding the bill in my hand. All right, it's House Bill 1523.
Good.
All you have to do is Google it. You can look it. You can look for it, download it, read it. I don't think most of these businesses have read it. I think they're going off the talking points of the Human Rights Campaign and others who have totally mischaracterized this bill. But for you as the Speaker of the House to handle this bill, to carry it, move it forward, and I spent nearly a decade in the Louisiana House, it's pretty significant for a House Speaker to carry legislation like this. Is this something that's important to you, that you see as important to the residents and citizens of Mississippi?
Absolutely. Religious freedoms are very important to Mississippians, and I'm sure many people in other states as well. But for those in Mississippi, religious freedom is a very sacred right for us. The recent poll that was done this week showed that 63% of Mississippians supported legislation of this type. I am very proud of my legislators who stood firm in their convictions in the face of opposition. I'm very proud of the governor for having the courage to sign this. You know, it's not always about the money. It's not always about the dollar. Sometimes there are certain convictions that we have that are that supersede those things. And many of the businesses who did read this bill have told me privately it really doesn't say what the opposition says that it does. And many of those businesses, while they felt pressure to issue statements, some of those statements were pretty benign. It was, you know, stuff like, we don't favor discrimination. Well, neither do I. And
right.
That's about all they would say. So I think there was an enormous amount of pressure to do something. Some of them did something, but they really recognized, I think, once they read the bill, that it didn't do what the opposition says that it does. And I've heard from various organizations around the country, Christian organizations, who have held it up as the best piece of legislation they have seen since the Obergefell decision, last June, I believe it was. So thus far, I think it's probably a strong piece of legislation that can help in this situation, and I hope other states may take
I would agree with you on that, Mr. Speaker. I do think it is the strongest language that has come out of the states since the June 26th decision by the Supreme Court last year, and I commend you. One final question as I let you go, Mr. Speaker. Are you surprised at how the opponents of this have twisted it and misconveyed and misconstrued the intent and the actual substance of the legislation?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's disappointing sometimes when things are misconstrued, and I don't think that some of the statements about the bill that I've seen have been accurate. I think there's sometimes an attempt to scare people when it's not something to be scared of. And
right.
There's no intent here to discriminate. There's no intent here to do any harm. The intent is to preserve religious freedom. It's a very sacred right, a very precious right. And I think this is just a result of the Supreme Court decision, which put all this in conflict with one another, and it's
right.
Something we're going to continue to have to grapple with as we move forward.
Well, and it's also the result of courageous leadership. And again, Mr. Speaker, I commend you and Governor Bryant. I talked to him earlier and want to thank you for your leadership on this, and we do hope other states will follow the lead of Mississippi.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate you having me on.
Okay. Mr. Philip Gunn, Speaker of the Mississippi House of Representatives. Strong piece of legislation, House Bill 1523. The governor signed it earlier today. It is Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Government Discrimination Act. And I do hope other states will follow the lead of Mississippi. I'm really proud of the leadership there in Mississippi, not yielding to the threats. All right, when we come back, Hillary Clinton and Chuck Todd made statements over the weekend that suggest the pro-life movement is succeeding. Don't go away. We're back right after this.
To visit the Lincoln Memorial, that is an awe-inspiring moment on our tour of Washington, D.C., the Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. As you look up at the statue of Abraham Lincoln, you turn around and you look back towards the Washington Monument and the United States Capitol, down the Washington Mall. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. That's just one visit on one day in our tour of our nation's capital. We call it a spiritual heritage tour. We're going there. We're also going to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate trip that's back-to-back. You can do one or you can do both. For all the information on these spiritual heritage tours in June and September, visit spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com. LincolnMemorial.com for all the information.
My name is Kelly, and I live in Rapid City, South Dakota. Shortly after I became a Christian, I found your station, thinking it was my church's station. So I started listening and found out that it wasn't my church's station, but I was so hooked. I had no idea that there was any kind of culture war going on at all. I didn't know anything about the gay marriage agenda or how bad abortion was in our country. I'm so grateful, and I've become very active in the culture war. I've been very involved in the pro-life movement and in every share-a-thon since. So I just wanted to thank you so much for informing me on what was going on and being such an encouragement throughout my day.
American Family Radio is making a difference. You can hear more stories of changed lives during our 3-day share-a-thon starting April 12th. American Family Radio, 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable healthcare without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at TPerkins. All right, we just had the Speaker of the Mississippi House of Representatives, Philip Gunn, was on. And I failed to mention it while I ran out of time. Let me encourage you, and I know we have many, many listeners in Mississippi on the American Family Radio Network, and I want to encourage you to do something that I occasionally do from time to time, and that is send a note of encouragement and appreciation to those who have stood up. The speaker was the author of this bill, and I asked him this question at the end, and I think he was kind of a little, didn't want to go into great lengths in discussing his role in this. But I can tell you from experience that usually House speakers, leaders of legislative bodies, do not take on pieces of legislation that could be controversial. All right, they avoid it. They usually have somebody else do it. Him as the speaker, working in concert with the governor and the lieutenant governor presiding over the Senate, they used their influence by their positions of leadership to get this bill through. Now, obviously, the members were very supportive, as shown by the numbers. But this took an act of courage, which... Somebody say, well, it shouldn't. We're just talking about defending religious freedom. In today's world, it took courage. So I would encourage you to send a note to the governor, to Governor Bryant, and to the House Speaker, Speaker Gunn, and to the Lieutenant Governor, and thank them for taking a stand for your religious freedom. All right? Hey, yesterday we had... we had on the program the director of God's Not Dead 2, Harold Cronk. Now, if you've not seen the movie, I encourage you to make plans even now to maybe go see it this weekend. And frequently we have stories like those in God's Not Dead of Christians, just regular folks, who are standing up for the truth, standing up for Christ, standing up for their faith despite the opposition. Now, you've heard them. I mean, we had Fire Chief Kelvin Cochran's been on the program. We've had the Kleins on the program. I mean, we've had, Chaplain Motter. I mean, the list goes on and on. And there are stories like those that in my book, No Fear,
of young people doing the same. But going forward, each week, we're going to have a day where we feature one of these stories in what we're going to call our Free to Believe feature. Now, here's where you come in. I want you to help us find those stories. The press doesn't like to report on them. They pass over them. They don't like to talk about them. They would rather they go away. They don't want to give lift to them. Well, we do. We want to give lift to these stories. We want to tell the stories of courageous Christians that are standing out there in their regular, everyday lives, in the workplace, in the schools, that are not bowing down to the idols of this world, but rather they're standing with compassion and with love. They're standing for the truth. And I want you to tell me about them. When you see them, when you hear them, maybe you have experienced it. Email me, tony@tonyperkins.com. I want to know about it. Maybe your story will be featured here on Washington Watch in our Free to Believe feature. That's going to start this next week, so be sure and email me those stories, tony@tonyperkins.com. All right, very quickly, before we run out of time here, over the weekend, Hillary Clinton was on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd. And this exchange, which was probably missed by many, I believe shows just how effective the pro-life community has been in changing the conversation in America. Listen to this exchange.
When or if does an unborn child have consequences?
Well, under our laws currently, that is not something that exists. The unborn person doesn't have constitutional rights.
Okay, now you might miss that and say, well, they're saying that an unborn person doesn't have constitutional rights. Notice the words used here. Chuck Todd says an unborn child. He didn't say a fetus. He said a child. And Hillary Clinton, now while it could be described as a legal term, but she still chose to use the word person. This is significant in showing that, you know, people say, well, we still have abortion in this country. Well, yes, we do. And we need to continue our work. But look where we've come in 43 years. We've seen in the last 6 years, we've seen over 300 pieces of pro-life legislation passed in the states. We've seen abortions decline, abortion clinics closing. And now we see the language has also changed. Unborn child, unborn person. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap. You see, we cannot give up on doing what is right and advocating for those who have no voice. We need to continue to stand and defend the defenseless. And the same is true for religious freedom. Look, I can remember the early days in the Life Movement, how vicious the opposition was. And even within the Republican Party, the pushback that came for standing for the unborn. And now, did you notice this presidential election cycle, how the Republicans were almost tripping over themselves to present their pro-life credentials? Why is that? It's because of you. It's because you have stood fast on that principle. You've refused to support candidates who did not support life. The same must become true of religious freedom. We must not yield the language. We must stand firm for the freedom to believe and live according to those beliefs. We can change it, but we've got to be committed. All right, folks, when we come back, Josh McDowell's going to join us. He's hosting a summit this week in North Carolina. It's not a summit on apologetics, Christian apologetics, but rather it's a summit on the crisis of pornography. Not in the world, in the church. We're going to talk about that and what can be done and the damage that can be avoided. When we come back, Josh McDowell joins us here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Just in case you're thinking about the upcoming elections, maybe you're thinking about how you are going to vote, let me just give you a little reminder of why we're in the mess that we're in, or one of the reasons anyway. Now, I've been talking about a long time about the ideology of some people in Washington have certainly got in the way of common sense. They operate with the blinders of their ideology on, and it's very difficult to make a good decision in the confines of this ideology, particularly a good decision in reference to the economy. So the governor of California, Jerry Brown, came out and said, you know, the minimum wage, which by the way is law now, if you didn't know that, the $15 an hour minimum wage. He came out and said, this minimum wage may not be the right thing economically, but it makes sense from a social standpoint. It is morally the right thing to do. Here's morally what is the right thing to do. To make your state the strongest economic powerhouse that it could possibly be. The state of California, this eighth largest economy in the world, is getting thrown to the wind because what one person believes is morally right. What is morally right is that you build a strong economy so that all can benefit from that. The rich, the poor, the middle class can benefit and grow and thrive in a growing economy.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at T Perkins. All right, as I mentioned, a reminder before I forget, if you're in Wisconsin, you have an election today. You can go vote in the presidential primary. And if you're not equipped, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and download the presidential voter guide. And you can find out which candidate is closest aligned with your biblical values. All right, again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, in Greensboro, North Carolina this week, a summit of leaders is taking place and is being hosted by Josh McDowell. Now, it's not a summit on Christian apologetics, but the crisis of pornography. Joining me now with the details is Josh McDowell. Josh, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Calling up and talking with God.
Josh, let's talk about this crisis. You just recently released a poll that shows how pervasive pornography is, not just among youth, but among both teens, young adults, and adults of all ages. This thing is rampant throughout society.
Well, we finally, to get people to even believe me, I commissioned $250,000 poll to be done, the largest ever, on pornography in the church. We released it last night here at the summit, and it shows, like Chuck Swindoll said, pornography is the greatest cancer in the church. And last night, everybody sat there just shaking their heads. They all knew it was true, but now a scientific poll showed us that it is true. And so that's why we gathered 800 leaders from 19 countries representing 360 organizations for 4 days, where 20% is on the problem, 80% is on solutions.
And the reason you're doing this, as you've pointed out, nothing erodes a person's faith faster than internet pornography. And because of the internet, this pornography is everywhere. It's accessible. In fact, it jumps out at you, and it's destroying the lives of our young people in particular.
It you just hit it. It's accessible, it's affordable, and it's anonymous. And it's only one thing our study showed, it is going to get worse because of where mores and culture are right within the church. Tony, in the church, 56% of Christian young people from 13 to 24 will say that not recycling is a moral sin. Only 32% will say pornography is a moral sin.
That's amazing. I want to stop you because I want people to hear what you just said. 56% of these young people say that it's basically a sin not to recycle, but pornography is, I mean, when it comes to pornography, only 32% have the same view. That's astounding. Where does that come from?
This is of Christian young people from 13 to 24, 93% said when they ever talk to their friends, and they're normally Christians, whenever they talk to their friends about pornography, it's always neutral, positive, or encouraging to do it. That's 93%. Only 1 out of 25% would say, I have a friend who would say pornography is bad.
Josh, in your survey, this is a very exhaustive survey. I've read through the top lines of it. This is not just about kids. It's not just about average adults sitting in the pews. There's actually problems in the pulpit with pastors and Christian leaders who have problems with pornography.
54% of pastors and 67% of youth pastors have or are presently struggling with pornography. These are our leaders. I would tell each pastor, look at all your congregation and tell yourself, 70% of the men out there are watching pornography, and almost 40% of all the women then get up and preach.
Wow. Let's talk. I want to talk about the solutions that you're pursuing. But first, I want to, for those that may think, well, you know, pornography is a victimless crime. It doesn't really hurt anybody. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't bother me. I can look at it. I can turn it off. That's not true. It has long-lasting, serious implications for those who participate in it.
Long, serious. I get so mad, Tony, when I go to universities, and universities that have movements against child pornography or child sexual exploitation, they say how bad it is, and they'll say, you watch pornography? Yes. And I'll say, how dumb can you be? What a hypocrite you are. Because the number one cause of child sex trafficking is pornography. Don't anyone tell me it's a victimless thing. Probably one of the biggest people suffering in churches today as victims are the wives of men addicted to pornography sitting right in the pews in the churches.
And
in fact, it's not a victim, you're a victim. Boy, we just saw the stats on this with a couple of our top-notch presenters. That of all men who watch pornography, 6 out of 10, 60% are experiencing erectile dysfunction.
Yeah,
they can get aroused with pornography, but they can't with their wife.
Fascinating story, front page article in Time magazine about that very topic. Josh, we're up against a break. Can you hold on for a couple more minutes? Because I'd like to give you a chance to talk about some of the solutions that you're pursuing. Can you hang on?
I'll hang on with my hand.
I know you're busy. I know you got a summit going on, but I appreciate you guys. This is a very, very important topic that people need to hear about. So don't go away. Folks, don't go away. Josh McDowell stays with us. We're going to return after the break, continue this conversation. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Do you enjoy history, museums, pandas, and national monuments? And are you looking to gain work experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, come spend a semester as an intern in Washington, D.C. with a Family Research Council. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and attend congressional hearings, events, rallies, and lectures all over D.C. Further, you will develop your skills in research and writing about the sanctity of life, marriage and family, religious liberty, and many other policy issues. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. To learn more and apply to the program, visit frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies. We're asking Christians to take a stand and pray and engage in your community by living and sharing your faith at home, in public, and at the ballot box. And I'm going to be sharing the gospel.
You'll find rally dates and locations, plus information on how you can be involved at DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Now is the time to take a stand.
Come to 1MillionDads.com. Be strengthened as a Christian leader for your wife and children, your church, your community. We believe that missing fathers is what's wrong with this country. No longer should men be weak or ineffective. 1MillionDads.com is where we can learn and grow together as men of the cross. 1MillionDads.com. Lead, or others will.
My name is Michael, and I live in Americus, Georgia, and I've been listening to AFR Talk for about 4 or 5 years now. I started listening when the economy went down in 2008, and I just wanted to know more about what was going on in the news and politics. I've been a monthly supporter for several years now, and ever since I made that decision, I have not regretted it in the slightest. It makes you appreciate the programming more, and it gives you a sense of pride to know that part of my money is going to help keep that news on the air and those programs on the air. And I plan on being a supporter for years to come.
AFR Talk is a 24/7 feeding place of truth. I believe that the Lord has raised up AFR to bring truth in a very important time.
American Family Radio is making a difference. You can hear more stories of changed lives during our 3-day share-a-thon starting April 12th. American Family Radio, 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you are with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. All right, according to Josh McDowell, the silent epidemic that is eroding our credibility as Christians is the pervasive nature of internet pornography. 64% of Christian men say they have viewed porn at least once a month. Joining me now to continue this conversation is Josh McDowell, who is hosting a summit in North Carolina this week on this topic of pornography. Josh, thanks for sticking around and continuing this conversation. I want to move now, and I know you're busy. You're in the midst of a summit, so I really appreciate you taking time out to talk with us about this, but I wanted people to hear more about it. As you did this survey, with a very extensive survey research, only 7% of churches have any type of program to help parishioners struggling with pornography. So we have this massive problem, but few resources to help those that are in it come out of it. What do you hope to accomplish this week, and where are you in that process?
Our goal is to accomplish several things. One, to bring first among leaders. We have 800 and some leaders from 19 countries and 360-some organizations. To raise the intelligent awareness, scientifically, culturally, biblically, of pornography. We want it to be accurate, intelligent, and believable. Second, we want to have people leave here Thursday at about 12:45 with literally understanding workable, biblically based, scientifically accurate, and medically relevant solutions to the devastating consequences of pornography. Third, I want to wake up pastors. The front line is not with parents. That's an excuse. It is pastors. If our pastors don't wake up and realize, one, we have a problem, I need to get my own life straight, and I need to prepare my parents and my church to raise their children for that the first time they see pornography, they'll start to know how to deal with it. The parents are not in the front line. It is our pastors, Tony. Hmm. And when only 7% of churches have any program or anything to help anyone with pornography, when you think of how many wives, women in our evangelical churches are hurting silently
because their husbands are addicted to pornography, and if they say anything, usually the church will respond, well, you're part of the problem. You should please your husband. Go home and obey your husband, and that'll take care of the problem.
When you leave there Thursday and you have, I mean, obviously you've painted the picture of the problem with this exhaustive study, you are going to be launching out with some solutions. How can people tap into this? Obviously, the problem is bigger than...
Very simple.
Okay.
Very simple. Go to setfreesummit.org. We have set this up for a 10-year follow-up. They'll be able to click into all the talks, the graphics, everything, the research. And for 10 years, Covenant Eyes will be coordinating this. And we will help pastors, leaders, parents, everything on how to cope with this in a positive way. But I got to tell you this, Tony, it's not going to be easy. Right now, 53% of pastors will say, well, we really don't have a problem with pornography in our church. Tony, probably the greatest disconnect between our leaders and Christians is right now. I can honestly say there's not one single church in the world, not one church in the world, the furthest out jungles of Africa, Asia, South America, the back country of Montana, whatever, there's not one church that does not have a problem with pornography. And one thing we're trying to do here is to wake up people to understand what is happening. And you know, we got 23 of the top presenters in the world here. A correspondent from The Blaze, he told Associate Mind this morning, he said, just this morning, I got enough material for 8 stories. He said, I've never had this before. He never dreamed that he could come to a, quote, Christian educational conference and learn so much so fast. So now we got to get people living it.
Well, I mean, this study should put to rest any claim that, you know, somehow this is not a problem in our churches. I mean, it is a pervasive problem, and you're absolutely right, it needs to be addressed from the pulpit. But you've got to have, the pastors have got to be whole and free from this entanglement to be able to freely teach and preach about it.
You're right. Remember the opening quote you gave by me? Jeez, I gave it. I can't even think of it right now. All is that it's the fastest thing that would diminish your faith.
Yes.
About an hour ago, this young lady came up to me. She's about 35, 38. And she said, what brought me here was when I heard you say it's one of the fastest things that will erode your faith. She said, my husband was a pastor of a significant sized church. He started to doubt his faith. He became an atheist, he left the church, and we're divorced.
Wow.
She said it all started when he got addicted to pornography. See, this is what I saw years ago, 6 years ago, with young people. There's something that's eroding their faith, their confidence in the authority, the Bible, their pastor, their parents, etc. It took me a whole year, Tony, when I realized it's pervasive internet pornography. As soon as you start watching pornography, it erodes the sources of authority in your life.
And why is that? Why do you see that to be the case?
Because the images of pornography are so powerful, and it releases all these chemicals, these hormones in your brain, dopamine, the pleasure chemical, and everything. And what happens in less than a half second? It bypasses, the images literally bypass your prefrontal cortex. That's where rationale is. It's where you make moral choices, etc. That's where you can evaluate things. It literally bypasses that and goes straight to your limbic system, where it's raw emotions. This is why men are willing to sell out their children, their wives, their marriage, their work. Pastors are willing to sell out a church. Why? Because the moment you give in to your cravings, you give up on your reasoning, because it bypasses your reasoning. And as a result, you're not able to reason. Wait, the Word of God says this and this. You can't. You're totally driven by raw emotion. This is different than any other addiction there is.
Wow. And when you think about how, as we were talking about earlier, how available it is, how people can access. I mean, now kids get this on, I mean, not just kids, anybody, on their phones, smartphones. It's everywhere. You can do it. Nobody knows about it. But the effects are so profound. And I'm sure you've read the cover story from Time Magazine talking about the effects of testimonies of these. And this was not a Christian article. This was an article talking about the physiological effects of pornography addiction that has, and what this is how evil works. It lures you in to seek a legitimate need in an illegitimate way, and it deprives you of the very thing you're looking for.
Tony, I've got to be going here, but let me put it in this context. The pornography issue of today was the tobacco issue of the 40s and 50s. Everyone was saying, doctors, the universities, professors, the erudite, the supposedly smart people were saying there's nothing wrong with it. Many pastors in tobacco states, everything else, were saying there's nothing wrong with this. You're just a right fanatic. You're a religious fanatic. Look, it brings joy to people, to young people. There's nothing wrong with it. And then all of a sudden, the research started to come back in, and they started saying, wait a minute. And then it was declared, now think of this, a major public health crisis. Then the legislature started to deal with it. Well, this is what's happening with pornography. It's the same thing. Educators, university, there's nothing wrong with it. You're exaggerating it. You're a religious fanatic and everything. But all of a sudden, in the Time Magazine coming out, totally secular, people cannot get aroused. University students. And as soon as we can have it declared a public health crisis like they did in Utah, then we'll start seeing the legislators starting to move on legislation. And I bring, as Dobson said years ago, it is a winnable war. We can start to see things fall into place. And this article by Time Magazine, just coming out right today, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is showing this progression with pornography that used to take place with tobacco.
Yeah. Josh McDowell, thanks so much for joining us. And I know you got to go. I want to follow up with you after the summit, and we'll get a download from
Let's
you on
it.
What was accomplished. Thanks so much, Josh. Appreciate what you're doing.
I'm available, Tony. Thank you. God bless.
All right, Josh McDowell. Look, this is some serious stuff. And again, lest you say, well, that's just, you know, that's just this Christian moralizing. I don't often advocate that you read Time Magazine, but this is a very insightful story, cover story. And it actually has the interviews with young men who, as young children, young men, young boys, became addicted to pornography to the point that they cannot enjoy in normal relations with their spouse. It's the nature of evil that it promises you this satisfaction. It entices you in and deprives you of the very thing that you're seeking. It becomes this vortex and sucks you down deeper and deeper to where, and they talk about this in the article, about how you have to engage in more explicit and risky and different types of pornography that takes you deeper and deeper, even into the criminal element. And of course, this is one of the big issues with pornography, is that at some point for some people, just looking at it on a computer monitor, or, you know, not too many people look at the books anymore. I guess it's all online. It's so accessible, as Josh was saying. But at some point, that's not enough for some people. And it leads to other behavior, some consensual, some not. And the way it affects relationships, where, you know, men lose the normal, natural desire for their wives, and they have to pursue other things in order to try to find that satisfaction. It's, well, he mentioned how it's in every church. It reminded me of you remember the Ashley Madison, the dating online, I guess it was a service where you could connect with people who wanted to get together, married people. Every zip code in America except 2 had people on that list. It's everywhere. I would encourage you to find out more about Josh McDowell's summit in this survey that was released this week, just last night, actually. You go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. And the pastors in particular, you should be praying about this, talking with your leadership in your church, especially for young people, to do interdictions, to find out. I mean, we know statistically it's in your church, okay? It's there. How do you deal with it? You need to. You need to have those frank conversations with especially the young men. And it's not a male problem, it's a female problem too. But what you are doing is, as he was saying, this erodes the faith. So it's kind of like you're trying to feed them spiritually on, you know, one way, but everything you feed them is being consumed by this exposure, and in some cases, addiction to pornography. I would strongly encourage you to be a part of seeking out some tools that can help you address this in your church, with your youth and with everyone. Do not be afraid to speak to this issue. Oh, wow. Well, again, let me remind folks in Wisconsin, you still have time to go vote today. Big election in Wisconsin. It'll be the last one for a while. I think some time before the next one. And as I said last week, this Republican presidential primary and the Democrat, both are going much longer than they have historically gone. And so states that in the past really have not decided the outcome or had a profound impact are able to. So if you're in Wisconsin, go vote today. And if you need help, download the voter guide at TonyPerkins.com. And again, let me encourage you, if you live in Mississippi, thank the governor there for passing what is the strongest religious freedom measure to be passed by the states since the court overturned marriage. And this will protect not just churches, but citizens. It's citizens that have the First Amendment freedoms. All right, folks, out of time. Well, Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where it says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.